It's Essential Pittsburgh, and I'm Andy Conti of the Tribune Review, in for Paul Guggenheimer. One of the most scenic views of Pittsburgh and the heavens can be found at the Allegheny Observatory. It is located, appropriately enough, in the Observatory Hill neighborhood. So we've left the confines of Studio A to speak with Lou Coben, electronic technician and administrator. So, Lou, where are we?
This is the 13-inch Fitz-Clark refractor, and this is the telescope that started everything. This dates back all the way to 1860, and the reason why it has two names is the telescope lens was stolen. The telescope was originally made by Mr. Henry Fitz of New York, so what happened was that they stole the lens, and in the process of stealing it, they scratched it. So it had a great big awful scratch on it, and then they sent the telescope out to Alvin Clark, and he refigured the lens. So that's why we end up with the Fitz-Clark refractor. And this particular telescope is the one that we will look through on the clear nights on the tours.
Lou, can you describe what the room looks like for our listeners?
It's a domed structure. It's a round room. It's probably around 25 feet across. And the walls are about, it's probably around 10 foot high. And then it turns into a dome. And the dome is actually just to protect the telescope from rain and snow and the weather. But the dome is the same temperature as the outside air. This telescope is completely modern. There's a modern CCD camera on there with a filter wheel, and we can filter different wavelengths of light that we want to look at. There's like a finder camera on here so they can see where the telescope's pointed.
Lou, the one thing that this building reminds me of is the old wooden roller coasters at Kennywood. What is that?
It's probably like the construction method. The domes are basically tongue and groove pine boards, and then they have like a copper cladding over them. So it very much looks like the inside of like a picnic grove or the old buildings that Kennywood, where like the merry-go-round would be. But that's probably like a period construction method. Nowadays, domes are usually made out of aluminum.
Lou, I understand there's one more telescope.
Yes, the next telescope is the Thaw Memorial Reflector, and that is the biggest telescope that we have here in the building.
Lou, where are we now? It sounds like we're in the command center.
Okay, you're inside the control room for the Thaw Memorial Refractor, and this is the area that the observing staff would sit in when they're using the telescope. It's a very nice environmentally controlled area, so we don't have to sit outside all night anymore. And we've actually automated most of the functions of the telescope, so we can sit inside here and we can control everything from inside here. One of the kind of cool things that we have at the observatory are we have a pair of seismographs. So not only is this observatory looking up, we're also looking down. And we also have a NASA fireball camera on the roof. And the NASA fireball camera basically looks for meteors.
Lou, this is awesome. What a cool room. I mean, it's gigantic space.
This place is really amazing. This is the inside of the dome. Now, this is about 60 feet across. It is a very large dome. And what I'm going to do for you is I'm going to move the dome, and I'm going to move it over to the power rail. So I'm going to open the shutter so it gets a little bit brighter in here. You know, one of the interesting things, too, about this dome is it's motorized. But back in the day when they first constructed this place, you could move this manually. There was a large ship's wheel on the third balcony up there, and you could actually crank that ship's wheel, and it would move this great big dome around. So this dome's probably around 100 tons, and it's about 60 feet across. Now, there's all this sort of popular misconception when you see a cartoon, they show the telescope sticking out the dome. That does not happen, and not ever. So basically, the dome is there to keep the telescope from the weather. So, you know, it stays basically inside the dome.
Lou, can you describe the telescope and what it looks like?
Yeah, so basically this is a very large refracting telescope, which means it has a lens at the front, and all of your instrumentation goes to the back of the telescope.
Do people look through this, or how does it do a computer image, or how does this work?
This is mainly all computer imaging, except one night a year. Every fall, we have an event called an open house. during the open house, we actually look through this telescope, and it's actually the only time that we look through the telescope.
This is like your home telescope on steroids, basically, this room-sized telescope, but it comes down to one little eyepiece that you look out of. That's incredible.
Yeah, this telescope is the third largest refracting telescope in the United States. The two other larger ones are the Yerkes 40-inch and the Lick 36-inch. So, yeah, this is as far as refractors go, this is really one of the biggest refractors around. Okay, I'm just going to show you this real quick. Then we'll go. So this is the spot. This is, you know, in the evening. This overlooks the city of Pittsburgh. Sometimes we'll sit up here and watch the fireworks, you know, 4th of July, or even if the Pirates are lighting off their fireworks. This is a really nice structure. We've got a nice little table and chairs up here. A fair number of the trees up here, so you can get a real nice view of the city and the surrounding sort of countryside here.
So while everybody is looking up, the biggest secret here might actually be when people are looking down. Tell us where we are.
Okay, we're inside the observatory's crypt. Now, if you remember when we looked at the 16-inch telescope, we are in the base of that telescope. So the way these telescopes work is they have to be sitting on a very stable pier. So the pier goes all the way down to bedrock and goes all the way to the top of the building. Well, in the inside of this particular pier, we have a crypt. So we have five people buried here. We have John Brashear, who was instrumental in getting the funding together for the observatory, and his beloved wife, who was very, very supportive and helped him out with a lot of his projects. And then we also have James Edward Keeler, and we have his son, Henry Bowman Keeler. And we've just recently added Cora Matthews Keeler about 5 or 6 years ago, even though she died in about 1944. We just added her to the crypt about 6 years ago. So you can actually see by the door to the crypt, it's a very heavy, it's almost a safe door. They originally designed this area to hold valuables, but they decided very quickly that it was way too damp down here because we're actually in a sub-basement. We're like one story below the main basement.
That room is unexpectedly beautiful down here. It's covered with tiny little tiles all over the floor and the wall, and the ceiling has very ornate decoration on it. Was this always here, or was this something that they added later on?
No, this was something that they added later on. This was actually John Brashear's idea, and mainly because James Keeler had died at kind of a young age. They wanted to put him into a sort of a fitting location. So as soon as they decided this place was unsuitable for storing things, then John Brashear had all the tile work and the plaster work done in the ceiling, and he had this area all fixed up so that it was made into a crypt. And there are not whole bodies down here. They're just ashes. As a matter of fact, it's interesting since it's a round room and the plaques or the burial plaques are square, you can take a flashlight and you can shine it up underneath the edge of the thing. You can actually see the urns in there. So it's kind of interesting. They're not completely sealed.
Well, I don't think I want to do that. I don't think that's something I have in mind. This is a very interesting space. What is it like to work with this here? Is it?
Actually, I don't really think too much about it. Sometimes when it starts to thunder and lightning or something, the lights go out or something, you get a little creeped out sometimes. But basically, it's not something that concerns me too much. And really, one of the reasons why is all of these people that are buried here cared very much about the observatory. So I doubt that they would haunt it or try to scare anybody away that was here. So, I mean, they may be here somewhere, but they're just watching what we're doing.
Lou, thank you. This has been an amazing tour of the Allegheny Observatory.
Thank you very much for visiting.
To learn more about the Allegheny Observatory, you can hear a web extra interview with Lou Coben on WESA.FM. You'll also find a link to Ben Schmidt's article on the observatory titled The Awe of Night in the current issue of Pittsburgh Quarterly. I'm Andy Conti of the Tribune Review, in for Paul Guggenheimer, and you're listening to Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.